listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 34. Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm so glad you're here because today we're talking about how you as a parent can help your child to revise for their exams. This is something that I hear parents asking for help with a lot in my Facebook group for parents, the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook community. And with February half term just around the corner, if you're listening to this when it's published in early February 2018, you'll be wanting to know how you can really put that help in and make that extra difference for your child. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But before we dive into today's content, I just wanted to remind you that this Saturday, the 10th of February 2018, I'm holding a revision Kickstarter workshop for students who have got their GCSE or A-level or AS exams coming up this summer. So what this workshop is a 2-hour online workshop, which you can join via your computer, iPad, or smartphone in your own home. And what I do in this workshop is help your child to create a highly personalised, actionable and prioritised revision plan for February half term. And I also give them tips on how to continue with their revision once they go back to school after the half term holiday. I've run 3 of these workshops already for mock exams in this academic year, and they've been really, really popular with students and have really helped students move forward with their revision for their mock exams. So if you'd like to get your child started on the right foot for their actual real GCSE or A-level revision, then this is a great opportunity for them to come along and get properly organised and properly planned for the February half term. So there's a link in the show notes to sign up for this workshop, and I'd love to see you there. Okay, let's go over to the main topic of today's show, which is how can I help my child revise? So, as exam season looms ever closer, you might be wondering how you can help your child to revise. Today, I'm going to highlight the 5 key areas in which you can offer your support with your child's revision. So, the first area is motivation. Motivation is key to successful revision. Your child needs to want good results in order for them to put the work in. Motivation can come from the inside or from the outside. And I'm going to highlight to you here the different ways that you can promote both the internal and the external motivation. So in terms of internal motivation, you can help them to be more internally motivated by supporting them to choose subjects which they enjoy and are naturally good at. There's nothing more dispiriting than having to put hours into studying a subject you don't like and are no good at. So this really comes well before the exam periods for which your child is revising at the moment, but it's something that is really worth bearing in mind if they're looking at the next phase of their life. That if you want them to be highly motivated and internally motivated to do well, they need to be studying something that they enjoy and are good at. And if you want to hear more about this, I've got a podcast episode. It's episode number 32, which is all about how to choose your A-levels. But the principles apply whether you're choosing GCSEs or indeed whether you're choosing A-level courses. I've also got a video on YouTube, which is all about whether you should follow your head or your heart when choosing degree subjects for university. So that would be worth looking at as well. So in terms of external motivation, you need to support your child in exploring their options for the next stages of their life so that they know where these exams are leading them. This might be finding a great sixth form for them, helping them to find university courses that they would really enjoy, or supporting them in plotting a path to their chosen career. So these are very much about long-term motivational strategies. So the next step in their lives, or even thinking about the career that they're going to do in the long term. And I know that some students struggle with knowing what they want to do long term, or even what they want to do for the next step. So another approach to external motivation is to offer short-term rewards for doing work. I call these mini motivations. So, for example, if your child does focused work for an hour, they might be rewarded with their favourite milkshake. If they do focused work for 3 hours, they might get to watch an episode of their favourite series on Netflix while they have lunch or before they go to bed that evening. So mini motivations are all about saying, okay, if you do good work, you will get rewarded. And it's about making that very strong link between doing good focused work and having a reward. So that's all about motivation. We're going to move on to mindset now. So having the right kind of attitude and mindset is really important for your child to succeed at revision. This really starts in your child's infancy, but it's never too late to change your approach to a more positive one. Here are some tips on helping your child to develop a positive mindset for revision, or really anything that is a little bit difficult in life. So the first thing is to let them know that they'll fall on their own sword. Now, what I mean by this is that your child knows that they have ultimate responsibility for their results. I see students an awful lot who don't take on board that accountability that they have, that when they go into the exam hall, it's down to them and the preparation that they have done up to that point in time to see them through and to get them their results. Too many students lean too heavily on the army of teachers, parents, and even tutors that are assembled around them to help them to succeed. So I think you really need to start early in cultivating in your child this spirit of independence and self-reliance in terms of the results that they get out of life. Yes, of course you're going to support them because you want the very best for them, but there is only so much you can do because you're going to be left standing outside the doors of the exam room and not able to impact anything that actually goes on inside there. So your child needs to take on that ultimate responsibility and be ready to stand up and be counted. So the second thing is to encourage your child to embrace difficult things. And this is because GCSEs and A-levels are hard, and there's no use hiding from that fact. If you encourage your child to tackle difficult things throughout their lives, rather than protect them from difficult things, you'll set them up well to be able to face the challenge of exams. So this is something else that I've seen inside my Facebook group, that parents really, really just want to protect their children from difficult and hard things in life. And actually, while it feels like you're doing the right thing by your child, you're not, because in the long term, they are going to face challenges, they're going to face difficulties, and they're going to have to step out of their comfort zones to really reach their full potential. So if you give your child to embrace difficult things and meet those challenges on the road towards taking their GCSE or A-level exams, they're going to be much better prepared and be better able to draw on their inner reserves of strength and courage to face the difficulty than if they've never had to do that before, because you've always stepped in to protect them. So the next thing to help them promote the right mindset for doing well in their exams and for getting on with their revision is to give them opportunities to learn from their mistakes. Now, this is highly linked to the last factor, which was embracing difficult things. But I see so many students who are scared of facing up to the mistakes that they might have made in the past. So, for example, one of the coaching clients that I'm working with at the moment, she just would not look, well, she wouldn't allow herself to do past paper questions, and she wouldn't look back at past pieces of work to look at where she'd gone wrong and what she needed to do to improve. And this was a major hindrance for her because she wasn't learning from her mistakes. So she was potentially making the same mistakes over and over and over again. So your child needs to be very certain in their own minds that it's okay to make mistakes so long as you learn from them. So you need to be giving your child the chance to make mistakes and not admonishing them for the mistakes so long as they learn from them and move on from them. So if your child makes a mistake, if you immediately get cross with them and shout at them, or you know, show your displeasure at them in some way, they are going to understand that it's a really bad thing to make mistakes, rather than understanding that it's normal to make mistakes, it's normal to get things wrong when you're learning, and actually the important thing is to learn from those mistakes and move forwards and not make those mistakes too many times again. So the final thing here on mindset is something that I really, really want to impress upon all parents, and that is to praise effort and not results. Okay, so many parents fall into the trap of overly praising results and not linking results to effort in your child's mind. The problem is, if you say to your child when they get a good result, "Well done, you're so clever," your child starts to believe it's the results that matter and that there's something innate about them that means that they will get good results. So because they're clever, they will get results. However, if you say something like, "That's a fantastic result, and I know it's down to all that hard work you did," you, instead of linking results to some innate quality in your child, you link it to the work that they've done. And by doing that, you encourage them to put the effort in. Now, if you've spent your child's whole life telling them that they're clever and they're intelligent and they deserve to be successful, you perhaps need to very, very quickly change the language that you're using so that they stop associating themselves by right almost with getting good results, and instead start associating the need to work hard to get good results. And it might be the case that up until now that they haven't had to work particularly hard to get good results, but with the volume of content there is at both GCSE and A level nowadays, with the new specifications, your child is not going to get away without doing a certain amount of work. So you need to build into them this expectation that it's work that leads to good results. The parents I see who struggle most to support their children through revision and exams are the ones who haven't cultivated the right mindset in their children through their earlier lives. So start early with this stuff to be successful. And I know you might be thinking, "Well, it's a little bit late for me now, Lucy," but it's never too late to start with this stuff. If you haven't started until your child's 16, start today. You know, it's never too late to start doing things this way, the right way, the way that's really, really going to lead to results. And just watch and see how changing the language that you use around the children changes their attitude, the way they approach their work, their willingness to work hard, and hopefully, therefore, their results. Okay, so we've covered motivation and mindset now, which are two things that are kind of slow burn things that will help your child over the long term build up to getting good revision done and therefore getting good exam results. But you're probably thinking, "I came here and listened to this because of the title, How Can I Help My Child to Revise? I want to know what practical steps I can take right here, right now." And that's what the next three steps are going to be about. So the first one is about planning. So one of the most effective ways you can help your child with revision is by helping them with the planning side of things. So there's three components to this. The first is time scales. Teenagers tend to see time on a very different scale to adults, and parents can really help students to see the reality of the time scales they are facing if they sit down with a calendar and show their children how much time is remaining. One of the parents who took part in my study skills course for parents and students, the exam success formula, did this with her year 11 son. She sat down in about October or November time and plotted out the rest of the school year, including all the school holidays, his French exchange, mocks, and everything else that was going on. When her son saw it, he was amazed at actually how little time was left, and this reality check made him much more focused on what was to come. So I think this is really important to do, because it can seem, you know, we're in February now and mocks start in May. So that basically means your child's got February, we're in February now and real exams start in May. And they might be thinking, oh, 3 months is ages. I've got loads of time. I've got all of half term and I've got the Easter holidays and then I've got exam leave. This is easy. I don't really need to put my foot on the gas yet. But actually, when you plot it out and you see it on a piece of paper, then it really doesn't feel like very much time at all. And your child will probably begin to see the urgency in the same way that you do with your adult's eye view on timescales. Okay, the second thing for planning is about breaking everything down into bite-sized chunks. So when I go into schools to talk to students and do talks, I often show a slide that says, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. Okay. And this, of course, doesn't mean that you should be going out and eating elephants. I would never advocate that. But what it does mean is if you've got a really, really big task in front of you, the only way to accomplish it is to break it down into bite-sized pieces, into smaller chunks, which seem more achievable and are more measurable than trying to do the whole thing all in one go. So one of the most common reasons that students don't start revising of their own accord is that they're simply overwhelmed by the scale of the task ahead of them. You can help your child to overcome this feeling of overwhelm by helping your child to see how they can break their revision down into bite-sized chunks so that they can track their progress, ticking things off as they go along and feel like they are making headway. Okay, so the final thing with planning is prioritization. As a parent, you can not just help your child to break down their revision into bite-sized chunks, but you can also help them to prioritize the things that will make the biggest difference to their overall grade first. You can find out more about how to break down revision into bite-sized chunks and how to prioritise revision in my blog post, The Anatomy of a Revision Plan That Gets Outstanding Results, which is actually the very first blog post that I wrote on my website. And it's still one of the most popular posts on the site as well. And it's really thorough, and I suggest you go there. The other place you can go for help with prioritization is chapter 8 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. And you can get a free extract of that chapter on my website if you go to lifemoreextraordinary.com/free-chapter. Okay. So the most important thing you should remember about helping your child to make a revision plan is just that you're helping, not doing it for them. So make sure that you do it together. The more input your child has into this process, the more ownership they will have, and therefore they will be more likely to carry it through. So it drives me nuts, basically, when I see parents in my Facebook group or sending me emails saying, I've created a revision plan for my daughter, or I've just made a revision plan for my son. And it's just like, no, that's not the way to do it. I know you're doing it out of the very, very best of intentions, but you can't do it for them. You have to do it with them if you want to take them with you on this journey and you actually want to engage them and you want to see them start getting things done. So get them involved in the process of planning their revision. Okay, the fourth step with how to help your child with their revision is by providing them with accountability. So unless your child is signed up to work with me one-to-one, you as a parent are probably their best accountability partner. So when you've either created the revision plan together or they've done it for themselves, come up with a way of communicating effectively between you that will keep them on track with their plan. And that's what an accountability partner does. It keeps you on track to what you've said you will do. The key here is for you to be both tough and empathetic. So revision timetables, in my experience, invariably go off track. As with all things, when human beings plan something, they are usually overly optimistic and they try to fit more in than is realistic. So revision timetables do have a habit of going off track and just people are unable to keep up with them. So when this happens, you will need empathy ready and waiting to help your child get over this obstacle, over this little wobble, have a little replan session and set them going again. However, it's not just empathy and compassion that your child needs from you as an accountability partner. They also need you to be a little bit tough with them to stop it going off track too early, just because of a lack of focus and discipline. So I remember sitting on a coaching call in the first round of my study skills course for parents and students, the exam success formula, and parents talking about this kind of thing. And I was saying, it really comes down to tough love. And, you know, you show your love for your child by being tough with them sometimes and keeping them on track. And I know some parents are far more kind of far better characteristically equipped to be tough like this, but really you're going to be doing your child a favour if you are tough with them, but also realistic, so that when you see things are going off track and that they can't keep up with the timetable that they've set for themselves, then you have that empathy to say, okay, let's stop for a minute, let's press pause and have a think about what's gone wrong here, how we can replan and how we can keep on moving forwards. So the last thing you really, really need to think about is how you as a parent fulfill this accountability role without endlessly nagging and having arguments. Well, the first thing you need to do is to get the first three steps in place: the motivation, the mindset, and the planning. So if you've got those three locked down, then this accountability thing is going to be so much easier than if one of those is slightly awry. Once you've got those locked down, you then need to establish a mutually agreed way of communicating and working with your teenager. So you need to sit down with them and say, okay, I'm going to be acting as your accountability partner, but I don't want to be nagging you. I don't want to be upsetting you. I want to be doing this in the most constructive way possible for both of us. What do you want from me? And your teenager, let your teenager come up with some suggestions. And as I've heard some of them say, you know, oh, just leave it to me, mum. And you're like, well, okay, I'm going to leave it to you for a couple of days. And if I see that you're not keeping to your plan or you're not doing what you've said that you're going to do, then I'm going to have to step in and we're going to have to find a different way of working. So if possible, let your child take the lead. But if that's not working out, then you know, make it clear that you will step in and you'll have to rethink the way that you're communicating with each other. Okay, the final thing you can help your child with their revision is with the actual learning. So there are certain things that you can do to support them with their learning. So the first thing is to make sure they've got the resources they need, like textbooks, stationery, revision guides, that kind of thing, so that they're fully set up, they've got all the tools that they need to do effective revision. The second thing is making sure that they've got a good environment in which to study. Now, I sometimes get emails from students saying, I've got a really big family and that I haven't got a room of my own and I'm finding it really difficult because I haven't got a quiet place to study where I won't be disturbed. Now, I understand in some families this is going to be really difficult, but if it's at all possible, make sure your child has a desk, a comfortable chair, good lighting, and a quiet place to work so that they're not distracted by other things going on. So those about getting them set up for their revision and being really successful for their revision. So the next thing you can do is to help their learning by testing them on things they've been learning or allowing your child to teach you things they've been trying to memorize. And it can be really, really helpful. I find actually teaching somebody else is one of the most effective ways to learn, because if you're unable to teach somebody else, then you're unable to give a good enough explanation of the content that you have been covering. So if you're available to be your child's pupil or guinea pig, then and allow them to teach you what they're revising, that's going to be immensely helpful. And also testing them. So for example, if they've got flashcards, they might be reading out, they might have tried to memorize those flashcards, and if you can test them and tell them whether they're getting it right, like recalling what is on that flashcard, that's going to be really helpful. And maybe giving them prompts to help prompt their memory and help them move forwards. Okay, the final thing, and this is probably a little bit dependent on your child's ability and level of motivation, but helping your child to interpret things like mark schemes when they've been doing past papers, as well as their teacher's feedback on things like past work or mock exam papers and that kind of thing. So mark schemes are written for graduates. They're written for qualified teachers who are working as examiners. So the language and the layout is often not that accessible for students, but mark schemes are an absolute goldmine when it comes to exams, and students really, really miss out if they don't mark their own work and use the mark schemes. But if your child is maybe of a slightly lower ability or they're not quite as motivated, they might need your help to kind of break into those mark schemes and really understand what the mark schemes are saying. So you might need to support them with that. And sometimes teachers' feedback needs a little bit of interpretation and more in-depth understanding if your child's really going to put what their teachers are suggesting into practice. Okay, so my closing thoughts on this are that many parents bust an absolute gut to try and help their child to revise and get the best exam results possible, but they get themselves very stressed and depressed about the whole thing because they're trying to take it all upon themselves, and that's just not feasible. So if you want to make a real impact, you need to firstly make your child take responsibility for their own work and make them understand that they're going to fall on their own sword, fall or fight with their own sword, basically. They can either fail or they can succeed, but it's up to them. And your child also needs to want to do well. The good news is that you can have a very strong impact on these two things if you pay close attention to both your child's motivation and mindset before you get anywhere near exam season. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about what I've shared in this episode of the School Success Formula. So if you've got any questions or comments, I'd love to hear them in the comments section at the bottom of the show notes, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/34, or in my Facebook group for parents, and you'll find that on Facebook at the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook community. Or finally, you can always tweet me at Lucy C. Parsons. And all the links to the Facebook group and Twitter are in the show notes at lifemoreextraordinary.com/34. So before we finish off the show, I'd just like to remind you about the February Half-Term Revision Kickstarter workshop. You can sign up to that. There's a link in the show notes. Just click on that link and that will take you through to the sign-up page. And I'd really love to see either just your child or you as well, if you want to get fully up to speed on how to make a really effective revision plan and how your child can carry that out effectively over half-term. So all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and goodbye.